233. The Obligation of Hajj, Pilgrimage, and Its Excellence. Allah the Exalted says, "And Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, to the house, Kaaba, is a duty that mankind owes to Allah. Those who can afford the expenses for one's conveyance, provision, and residence. And whoever disbelieves, i.e. denies Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, then he is a disbeliever of Allah. Then Allah stands not in need of any of that Alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists." 397. 1271. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'The superstructure of Islam is based on five pillars, testifying the fact that La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. There is no true God except Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the Messenger of Allah. Establishing as-salat, the prayers, paying zakat, poor due, the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, Kaaba, and the psalm, fasting, during the month of Ramadan." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith has been mentioned earlier. Here it has been repeated in support of the obligation of the fourth pillar of Islam. Thus, Hajj is compulsory for a person who fulfills the qualifications required for it and has the means for it. 1272. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, delivered a khutbah and said, 'O people, Hajj, pilgrimage to the house of Allah, has been made incumbent upon you. So, perform Hajj.' A man inquired, 'O Messenger of Allah, is it prescribed every year?' He, peace be upon him, remained silent till the man repeated it thrice. Then he, peace be upon him, said, 'Had I replied in the affirmative, it would have surely become obligatory, and you would not have been able to fulfill it.' Afterwards, he said, 'Do not ask me so long as I do not impose anything upon you, because those who were before you were destroyed on account of their frequent questioning and their disagreement with their prophets. So when I order you to do something, do it as far as you can, and when I forbid you from doing anything, eschew it.'" Muslim. Commentary. This hadith brings out the following points. 1. Hajj is compulsory once in a lifetime for those who have the means for it. 2. Unnecessary questioning is disliked. 3. Those who believe in Allah and His Prophet, peace be upon him, are required to do what they are ordained and abstain from what they are forbidden. 1273. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked, 'Which deed is the best?' He, peace be upon him, replied, 'Faith in Allah and His Messenger.' Then he was asked, 'What is next?' He replied, 'Jihad, holy fighting in the cause of Allah.' Then he was asked, 'What is after that?' He, peace be upon him, replied, 'Hajj Mabrur, an accepted pilgrimage.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith points out the fact that Hajj is one of the most prominent religious acts, provided it is done sincerely and keeping oneself away from sins. Some people have interpreted the word Hajj Mabrur as an accepted Hajj. They say that the sign of an accepted Hajj is that one becomes a true worshipper of Allah, which he was previously not. 1274. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'Whoever performs Hajj, pilgrimage, and does not have sexual relations with his wife, nor commits sin, nor disputes unjustly during Hajj, then he returns from Hajj as pure and free from sins as on the day on which his mother gave birth to him.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. The true meanings of rafat is sexual intercourse, but it also signifies obscene and frivolous talk and the expression of sexual desire to one's wife. Since coition with one's wife is forbidden during Hajj, so conversation with her on this subject or talking for amusement is also disliked. Fisk means disobedience of Allah and quarreling with people. One must avoid both of them during Hajj. The Hajj which is performed with all these restrictions has the merit that one is totally purged of sins. But this purification is from sins which come in the category of minor sins and which relate to the rights of Allah. Major sins relating to the rights of Allah and lapses in respect of the rights of people are not pardoned without sincere repentance and compensation to the aggrieved. 1275. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, the performance of Umrah is an expiation for the sins committed between it and the previous Umrah, and the reward of Hajj Mabrur, i.e. one accepted, is nothing but Jannah." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith tells us that the merit of Umrah is that it is an expiation for sins, but this too is an expiation for minor sins. Umrah includes assuming ihram, circumambulation of Kaaba, going between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, and halq, or taksir, shaving of head or cutting hair. Whether or not Umrah is an obligation like Hajj is arguable among the ulama. Some people, like Imam Ash-Shafi, hold that it is obligatory. Others, like the followers of the Hanafi school of thought, regard it sunnah muqadda. Still, others think it to be voluntary. Imam al-Bukhari is inclined to the first view, which is also endorsed by sayings of some companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, about which some muhadithun, scholars of hadith, have even claimed that these sayings are mausul, i.e. the chain of narrators reaches up to the Prophet, peace be upon him. For further details, please see Fath al-Bari. Otherwise, the view that it is non-obligatory is preferable. 1276. Aisha r.a. anha reported, "I said, O Messenger of Allah, we consider jihad as the best deed. Should we not then go for jihad?" The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "The best jihad for you women is Hajj Mabrur, i.e. one accepted by Allah." Al-Bukhari. Commentary. In ordinary circumstances, Hajj is the best of jihad for women because in Islam, politics, economy, government, military affairs, etc. come in the purview of men and men alone. Women are exempted from all such matters. However, in case of war, if the need arises, women can be engaged for supply of food, first aid of the wounded, etc. on the internal front, provided they can do such works without crossing the bounds of the Islamic-type veil. But imparting military training to women and dispatching them to war front are sheer imitations of the Western nations, for which there is no scope in the teachings of Islam. This hadith also confirms this view. 1277. Aisha r.a. anha reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, there is no day on which Allah sets free more slaves from hell than he does on the day of Arafah." Muslim. Commentary. Almighty Allah emancipates most of his slaves, both men and women, from the hellfire on this great day. Millions of pilgrims who, by virtue of their sincere repentance, try to seek the pleasure of Allah, certainly stand to earn Allah's pardon for their sins and thereby emancipation from the hellfire. May Allah grant us this grace of His. 1278. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the performance of Umrah during Ramadan is equal to Hajj, pilgrimage, or said, equal to the performance of Hajj with me." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Equal to the performance of Hajj means the return and reward to which Hajj is eligible. It does not mean that it will serve as a substitute for Hajj and absolve one from the need to perform it. This distinction of Umrah in the month of Ramadan is perhaps for the reason that in this way, two acts of worship are combined at one time. 1279. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported, "A woman came to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and said, Allah's obligation upon his slaves has become obligatory on my father in his old age. My father is very old and incapable of riding. May I perform Hajj on his behalf?" He, peace be upon him, said, "Yes." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Hajj has become obligatory in old age means that when Allah has made Hajj obligatory, at that time her father had attained old age, or he came to possess the means in his old age, which made him liable for Hajj, but he is not capable of undertaking the journey because of his poor health. In such cases, the Prophet, peace be upon him, has granted them permission for Hajj by representation. But we learn from other ahadith that Hajj by representation can only be done through such a person who has already performed Hajj. Similarly, if a person of means dies without performing Hajj, it is essential that Hajj is performed on his behalf. Otherwise, he will be answerable for this omission. This formula does not apply to parents who have died in poverty because they were not liable for it. If someone does it for the sake of reward, he will be hopefully granted the reward of voluntary Hajj. 1280. Laqith bin Amir radiallahu anhu reported, I came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, My father is a very old man and does not have strength to perform Hajj, pilgrimage, or Umrah, or to undertake the journey. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Perform Hajj and Umrah on behalf of your father. Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. This hadith also stresses permission of Hajj through representatives where a person is not capable of doing it. But it is essential that the representative agent must have already performed Hajj. 1281. As-Sa'i bin Yazid radiallahu anhu reported, I was 7 years old when I was taken to perform Hajj, pilgrimage. This was during the time the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, performed the Hajjatul Wada, farewell pilgrimage, Al-Bukhari. Commentary. This hadith points out the fact that it is permissible to take children to Hajj. The reward of their Hajj will be given to their parents. But when after attaining maturity, the child becomes liable for Hajj, it will be necessary for him to perform it again, because the one he has performed in childhood will not be sufficient for him. The reason behind taking children to Hajj is to teach them how to perform this obligation. 1282. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reported, The Prophet, peace be upon him, came across a caravan at Ar-Roha and asked who the people in the caravan were. They replied that they were Muslims. They asked, Who are you? He, peace be upon him, said, I am the Messenger of Allah. Then a woman lifted up a boy to him and asked, Would this child be credited with having performed the Hajj, pilgrimage? Whereupon he, peace be upon him, said, Yes, and you will have a reward, Muslim. 1283. Anas radiallahu anhu reported, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, performed the pilgrimage on an unsaddled camel, which also carried his provisions, i.e. his zamila, Al-Bukhari. Commentary. Zamla is a mount like a horse, mule, etc., on which luggage is loaded while traveling. What it means here is that the Prophet, peace be upon him, traveled for Hajj on such a mount on which he kept his provision for the journey also. In other words, it was his Zamla as well. This incident happened during Hajjatul Wada, farewell pilgrimage. This hadith shows the Prophet's total humility and humbleness and his disregard for the life of the world. 1284. Ibn Abbas r.a. anhuma reported, Ukaz, Mijanna, and Dhul-Majaz were markets during the pre-Islamic period. The companions disliked trading there till the following ayat of the Noble Quran were revealed. There is no sin on you if you seek the bounty of your Rabb during pilgrimage by trading. 2:198. Al-Bukhari. Commentary. The companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, considered trade and commerce during the months of Hajj as sinful because they thought that trade had a sort of resemblance with the bazaars which were arranged on the occasion of Hajj in the pre-Islamic period. Through the ayah quoted in this hadith, Almighty Allah removed their misunderstanding. Therefore, trade and commerce on this occasion do not violate the Hajj and Umrah. This is, however, only a permission. If one wants to earn reward in the hereafter through his utmost devotion to Allah, it is more meritorious to avoid commercial activities and wholeheartedly concentrate on the remembrance of Allah and His worship.